Jonathan Mosen and welcoming you to this Final Decision 2003 special. In Pittsburgh on the 11th of July, members assembled at the National Convention of the American Council of the Blind will choose the national officers of the organization to serve for a two-year term. And on ACB Radio, you have heard the voices of nearly all of those people who have at this point declared that they are candidates for the office. It's important to stress that candidates may declare right up until the election, so we may not be able to feature all those who ultimately turn out to be candidates in these programs. However, there is only one declared candidate for office at the time that this program goes to air for the position of president, and as is the practice, when there is only one declared candidate, we interview that person on their own, and that is the incumbent, Chris Gray. And Chris joins us now. Nice to have you on the program again.
Thank you, Jonathan. Always good to be here.
Well, let's give you a chance to open up with a couple of minutes on why you believe you're the best person to continue in the role as president.
Okay. Well, thank you. Many people will have seen my posting on the website, I assume, where we addressed a number of questions. It has been an exciting, event-filled, sometimes stressful first 2 years. I do come to the position, of course, as the incumbent, and I'm not, of course, cocky enough to suggest or to necessarily believe that incumbency is the only reason that a person ought to support a candidate for any office or the president of ACB. The things I feel the happiest about and where I feel we've made some real progress are in some areas of legislation. I think we've been very active in those areas. We have made some great steps forward financially, although nowhere near to the extent that I would like to have come in these first 2 years. There are many activities that the organization has been able to finalize in these 2 years, and I'd like to think that I had something to do with that. The most recent one, which is kind of on my mind and a lot of other folks' mind, is the ACB history. Long in the writing, long in the post-writing to production stage, but it is a wonderful thing, and I believe it's going to be a whole new era in our movement to have a real history of the organized blind out there in front of people. In many areas, ACB has moved forward with my leadership, hopefully as a help in that. We're championing civil rights in many ways. We've moved to protect Randolph Shepard vendors on a number of situations that have been plaguing them for the last 2 years. We have some great successes in other areas. The Georgia guide dog situation is an area that I'm very proud of and happy about, and a way that ACB has found to work organizationally together. The lawsuit with regard to accessible currency is ultimately going to be a wonderful new found set of freedom for blind people when we're successful in making that happen. And I think that we have recovered very well from difficulties that we've had. Who would have guessed that we would have ultimately lost the decision with regard to video description? But ACB, in its resiliency and in its belief in what is right, has moved forward, and we're in a position now where we have strong support in the Senate, strong support in the House of Representatives. And I believe that legislatively we're going to be able to get done what we couldn't get done in the courts with regard to the continued and growth of video description on American television. So those are some of the things I'd say, Jonathan. I'm sure there's a bunch of others I might mention, but they might come out in your other questions.
Yeah, we'll come back to some of those questions. Thank you for that. If you'd like to speak with Chris, we will take your calls, and we would ask for questions and not statements, please. Nice, concise questions so we can keep the flow. It's area code 212-812-2800 is the number, 212-812-2800. And when you ask for a conference code, it is 0480-5512. Thanks to spiderphone.com. That's 0480-5512. Feel free to call in at any time. Someone already has done. Area code 703, hello.
Hi there, Jonathan. Chris, I have a question for you, which I think is important for the leader of ACB for the next 2 years, and that is, in the light of some of the financial difficulties and challenges that ACB is facing, what do you view as kind of the most important issues that ACB is going to have to cope with in the next 2 years, and what is your program for basically dealing with those challenges or hopefully successfully meeting those challenges?
The most important financial issues, you mean?
Well, financial and policy issues as well.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that question, Charlie. And it there's no doubt that the single most difficult element we face in ACB is this never-ending shortage of capital resource. It is a very big problem for the organization, always has been, and to do many of the things that we so desperately want and need to do, it requires money, plain and simple. There are a number of areas where we have made substantial progress, and I think we're going to see some changes in the financial picture of the organization. And let me tell you a couple of those things. Some of them I'll be mentioning in my Sunday evening address, perhaps in more detail than I'm going to mention right now. But one thing, for example, we're rolling out is a corporate advisory council to ACB. We have established some very solid relationships with some major corporations in this country, and it is my belief that by looking outside of ACB and looking outside the blindness system to some extent, we're going to be able to strengthen ourselves and find new initiatives that will help us financially. Another area that I've put some emphasis on and will continue to do so is the extent to which we can, as an organization, help ourselves financially. In my fundraising letter to the membership and in certain other presentations that I've made, I have expressed my belief about how significantly we can self-fund certain aspects of our organization. If, for example, every member of ACB were to make a $10 or $15 contribution per month to the organization, we could generate as much or more capital in that way than we get from ACBES, which is our primary source of funding today. That, my friends, is significant. That tells a huge story about how much we can do to make our movement what we want it to be. And, of course, we know that there are folks out there that can do more than $10 or $15 per month if they chose to, and there are some who can't do $10 or $15. And people have to come to this with whatever resource and commitment that they have, but when all is balanced out, if we could average that sum of money, it would be an amazing injection of capital to ACB. Now, moving away from that, I have tried and will continue to try very hard to look at new initiatives, but to do so in the grounding of the organized blind movement. The one that I'm very excited about and really believe could get off the ground in a big way is the survey that is currently underway that I talked about in the May issue of the Braille Forum regarding health care insurance for blind people. It is well known to probably most listeners how tough it is for a blind person to get their own health care insurance. And certainly when it comes to certain types of insurance, it isn't just hard, it's impossible. If we can band together, and we have that power and we have that strength in numbers, if we can band together and create a self-funded insurance, health insurance policy for ourselves in the organization, we can free people from the necessity of staying on SSI or SSDI and in that way maintaining health insurance, poor as it may be, provided through the Medicare system. Moving on from that, I would say that another contribution that I have tried to make and that will become more obvious in the next period of time is this. We talk about unemployment being the biggest problem for blind people. I believe the reality is that unemployment is more a symptom of a number of other problems than it is the single most important problem all by itself. If, for example, getting a job means that you lose your only means of health insurance through Medicare, you're going to hesitate to take that job. If getting a job requires you to go someplace that our current transportation system can't get you, you're not going to take the job. So what I'm saying is that I think that in ACB we have to take a long look at a number of core issues that create the reality we live with as blind people in the U.S. And we'll find that issues like transportation, like health insurance, really have as much or more to do with our employment situation than people being unwilling to give a blind person a job.
Well, that's a very comprehensive answer, and thank you for asking the question, Charlie. Area code 212-812-2800 is the number, and the conference code 0480-5512, thanks to spiderphone.com. We keep mentioning financial issues, and it seems to come up every time we have a candidates debate. What happened to the promise of significant extra finances in ACB's coffers after 2 years of a grey presidency?
Well, the promise was probably optimistic. One thing that happened to it, of course, which is unfortunate, no one could have foretold, was the chill that was placed on funding of nonprofits by the September 11 attack a couple of years ago. I think if you check with any major nonprofit in the U.S., you'll find that the ability of our type of organization to even continue at the funding levels that we had before that time has been seriously diminished. And that was a very unfortunate thing, but it has had a major negative effect on ACB's ability to generate new kinds of revenue. Another thing that has been a great enemy to increasing our financial resources, I guess, is really the amount of time that it takes to get certain things done and new programs and ideas put into place. I would never have believed 2 years ago, Jonathan, and perhaps this was naive of me, that it would take so many months or in some cases, you know, over a year to get what seems like a very simple fundraising idea off the ground and to a point where it's actually generating some revenue for ACB. Take something, for example, as easy, you might think, as vehicle donation. Now, many of our state affiliates use vehicle donation as a major source of revenue for their organization. We decided that in states where the state affiliate was either unable or unwilling to go into vehicle donation for its own programs, that ACB would make some attempts to use that as a source for generating revenue. Between the time the idea was launched and we had a signed contract and were beginning to to do some advertising in a couple of markets, 9 months had gone by. And so our ability to have any revenue from that was totally gone for the first year of my presidency. Then, of course, there's the issue of what's a good market. And we have struggled with that, I must say. Some of the markets that we've tried have not panned out to the extent that ACB believed they would, or that the guy who does all the vehicle donation work believed they would. So a few of those markets we've had to abandon. A couple new ones we've taken on in the past several months. And the good news is that we seem to have found the right mix of locations now. Cars are coming in, revenue seems to be forthcoming, and I think this is going to be a major shot in the arm for us. Another area where we have been working diligently is with a company that is making certain types of location devices for getting out of fires and things like that. We have an arrangement with them that I think can be very productive for the company and for ACB. However, manufacturing difficulties, licensing difficulties, advertising difficulties have made a program that we were working on very hard a year and 3 months ago almost get off the ground today. That program has significant potential for ACB, and so, you know, there again, it's just a matter of the time that things take. Having said all that, I want to go back again, Jonathan, to the idea of ACB being more committed to being a self-funded organization. The reality is, and it's a reality I need to do more to promote and talk about with people in ways that will help get them fired up about the idea, the reality is that we could, with very, very little spending on any one person's part, easily generate between $500,000 and $700,000 a year from ourselves. And this is important. We believe in what we do. People care about the ACB deeply. And I think people are still kind of amazed and surprised at the level of financial health we could bring to ACB with a very small commitment on any one individual's part. So without meaning to be pushy about it, and I hate to be pushy about such things, I want to communicate that information to the membership as well.
Why do you think it is that the Federation never seems to be having this kind of discussion, that they're focusing on sort of $18 million complexes, and ACB is focusing on just trying to get enough to, you know, get the basic core functions of advocacy done? Where's the difference there?
The difference, I think, is primarily a matter of time and maybe to some extent focus. In the two organizations, the common wisdom is, and I think it's borne out very amply in the ACB history, when we became a second organization of the blind, we took the majority of the members, but NFB took virtually all the money. and of course, the established name in fundraising and all kinds of established and very successful programs. So when you already have a base of operation that can make a good deal of money and then enter into some of the other business activities that NFB has entered into over the years and grants and so forth, you're going to get a significant, large financial base with which you can then generate more money and use it in ways that can promote even additional revenue for the organization. I think probably it would be reasonable to suggest, you can certainly say without any debate, NFB has a 21-year head start on ACB in terms of a funding base and fundraising. if you look at the time that was required to build up a new organization from the ground, from nothing, it's probably more accurate to say that it really is a 30 to a 35-year gap. So it's understandable why ACB is behind in this area, comparing one organization with the other. Also, the owning of a building and the ability to raise money for capital projects is a much, much clearer and in certain ways easier area in which to do fundraising. If you look at any of the fundraising literature for nonprofit organizations, you will see over and over and over again the best things to raise money for, the things that will make you the most money, are capital projects.
Let's go and talk to area code 206. Hello, you have a question for Chris Gray.
Hello?
Area code 206, that's you.
Hi, Chris. Hi, Jonathan. It's Sue.
Hello, Sue.
Hey, Sue. How you doing?
Good. I think one of the reasons that fundraising is different for us than for NFB, having been a member of both, is that we do not do two things that they do. And number one, they do the unordered merchandise kind of thing, where they send ties or greeting cards in the mail and ask people to send money. We've never done that. Or they send letters saying, you know, if you send money, it'll help poor blind children, et cetera. And I don't think that would ever be anything we would do. The second thing, I think that we're starting this monthly donation by members, which is good, but we're not making it you'll be a good member if you do this versus if you will not.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a real difference between the two organizations, or one of the differences.
And did you have a question for Chris, Sue?
Chris, I know we are facing some, you know, money difficulties as we have for a long time, but do you have any thoughts about what kinds of things we might be able to do in terms of developing membership and new leaders?
Membership and new leaders. Well, coming from the chair of the membership committee, I guess I shouldn't be too surprised at that question. We find ourselves in a time when people appear to be less interested in membership organizations than they have been in the past. I know that many organizations, not just even in the blindness movement, but in other movements, are struggling to get as many members as they would like or as many members as they have had in previous years. I feel that one of the big things ACB should do, and in fact we are doing this right now, is looking toward organizations who have been hugely successful and continue to be hugely successful in generating membership. One of those organizations that I've been using as a model to think about and who we've been making a lot of contact with and talking with is AARP. For one thing, there's a huge synergy between the membership of ACB and the membership of AARP. We're an aging membership in the organization, and new cases of blindness tend to affect older people more than younger people. Now, no question about it, we've got to reach out to younger people as well, and that has a whole set of its own challenges. But I do think that many of the things that AARP does are things that we ought to think about doing. And to be honest, my second reason for being committed to the idea of health care plans for ACB members is because this has been one way that AARP has been so successful in attracting members to the organization. You know, it's not unfair for people to have an expectation that they're going to get something from their organization.
Absolutely.
And maybe it is today that people are feeling they're not getting enough from ACB. And I want to change that.
Right. Well, I appreciate your call, Sue, and we'll see you at convention, I expect.
And, Jonathan, I want to say to you how much the membership appreciates these candidate discussions and how much we're going to miss you, and good luck to you and your future plans.
Thank you. You're very kind. We'll see you soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Chris, I was struck during some of these debates by the frankness of some board members on this program saying that they felt that the ACB was at the moment quite a divided organization. Do you perceive that? Is there some sort of schism in the organization? And if you think there is, what's the cause and how can those rifts be mended?
Well, gosh, I hate to think of ACB as a divided organization, and I think that as president of ACB, I would always choose when I can to approach any issue or discussion we have in the organization from the point of view of people finding ways to be together. But having said that, I mean, your perception is accurate, I think. I mean, there has been some significant discussion about that in candidates' forums and then elsewhere. In for example, one of the candidates' questions showed a potential schism, a potential division, by suggesting that the civil rights of guide dog users was in some way being abused. The suggestion is clear in the question, and it can't be ignored. I'm sorry the question came out that way, because I think that it is usually the case that if you say people are divided about something, they're going to be. It's hard for them not to be if that's the way something is approached. If you sit down and say there are some varying points of view on topic A or topic B, and we have to find a way to seek the middle ground and understand where there is middle ground, and as a national organization approach things from that basis, we're going to win, because that's always the way to win a situation. If you start staking out positions, and if you have to map out territories and, you know, A said this and B said that, it's going to be a tough road. There is some of that in ACB right now, I guess. It's undeniable. There's a little of that with the issue about guide dogs, because people don't really understand that we're in fundamental agreement about 99% of the issues in that case. I believe that when we get to Pittsburgh and the organization has a chance to talk this over in convention, the people are going to realize that thoughts of a real schism were blown drastically out of proportion by a few people. We're going to find some great solutions during the convention. We're going to heal this thing up and come to realize that ACB is first and foremost the greatest advocate for civil rights for blind people in this country. And I have a feeling that much of this discussion about schism in the organization is going to get resolved during the Pittsburgh convention. I certainly hope so.
I'd like to come back to that, but I also don't want to keep a caller on long distance waiting, so we'll take this question first. Hello, area code 717. You have a question for Chris Gray.
Yes, my question is that I want to know if what do you envision as ACB's role in promoting computer usage, maybe a bit off topic, but in the light that, Macintosh, that the Outspoken is dead or will be, if we could somehow tailor everything and focus on developing a GUI Unix, and also, Jonathan Moser, and I'll hang up after I say this, I appreciate every single thing you've done for us, and it's been wonderful. And don't know if I'll have a chance to go to the convention, but, when I buy a beer for somebody, I'll think about you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. I didn't actually know that Outspoken was on the way out, but have you got a response to that question?
Well, I didn't know about Outspoken myself, and of course, it's unfortunate, but there has never been significant attention paid to the issues of access to Macintosh. It is a reality, unfortunate, but there's only so many people to do so many things, and I guess that, you know, within ACB and within the blind community generally, while people have been interested in Macintosh access, the lion's share of the effort has been for Microsoft products. Let me say a few things about Microsoft products, because at least I can say more positive things there. It is exciting, and I think I could make a few points here, if I might, Jonathan, about the ACB convention coming up. Some of you have seen the schedule, the agenda, and I am just very excited that we're able to have Madeline Bryant McIntyre, who's the head of Microsoft, the Microsoft Accessibility Group, to come and speak and meet with members of ACB. The Information Access Committee, and in particular, John Mattioli, has been very active and very hard at work in establishing a new and perhaps a different kind of relationship with Microsoft. I said 2 years ago that we had just been too nice in many ways and had not been tough enough on access issues. We've been pretty tough on access issues in the past 2 years. We were very hard on Adobe and have made significant progress with them in certain areas. We've been very, how shall I say this, we've been very clear with Microsoft that the status quo wasn't good enough and was not enough to keep ACB happy. At the same time, and it's fortuitous how events work together to create a different kind of environment, Bill Gates received that Louis Braille Award from the Canadian National Institute for the Blind. That made him a lot more interested in a positive way in access issues for blind people. And visibility that accessibility for the blind has had in Microsoft since he got that award has been a real shot in the arm for us, too. When Madeline comes to ACB, she has some major announcements that she's going to make. And I don't want to steal her thunder, but I will say that one of the things we're going to talk about at ACB is that there is going to be testing done, pre-release, early beta testing and involvement by ACB members working in conjunction with key Microsoft staff people to promote accessibility of new versions of Windows, new versions of Office, and in fact some of that work is already underway in certain aspects of Microsoft products. I'm excited about this area. I think it's someplace where we've been able to make a real difference in the past 2 years. With regard to Unix, an accessible Unix would be wonderful, and in some ways Unix poses greater and lesser access problems. If you want to be a command line shell user in Unix, you have great access even today. However, if you want to begin to delve into the more up-and-coming Unix products, things that require X Windows and so forth, if you want to get into using a Windows-like Unix, say, for example, with GNOME, there is tremendous progress being made. It has more to do with Sun's initiative than ACB's initiative. But, yes, we are involved. We're watching this and trying to get more involved in doing beta tests, and I think that we're making great progress in the Unix environment as well.
Let me just remind people of the phone number. It's area code 212-812-2800. That's 212 for New York, 812-2800. 0400. And the conference code, courtesy of spiderphone.com, is 0480-5512. 0480-5512. We are taking questions for Chris Gray, who is currently president of the American Council of the Blind and seeking a second two-year term. I just take us back to complete the thread we were having on the question of the schism or not. Two of the candidates, independent of each other last week, commented that they felt that all was not necessarily clear or on the same wavelength between the volunteer arm, the leadership arm, the officers and the board, and staff. Do you share that view? Is there some sort of unclarity or a clash of mission and purpose between the staff and the board at the moment?
I don't think I'd say there is a schism with regard to overall mission and purpose. No, I wouldn't take it to that level. That, to me, seems too extreme. What I might say, though, is this, that there has been some significant tension with regard to a couple of policy issues, and there are members of the board of directors who feel that it may be that the board has lost a great deal of its ability to control policy in the organization. The idea is that in policy matters, the board and the membership, when assembled at a convention, are responsible for stating the policy and for setting the parameters of what policy is carried out. There is some evidence and some activities have occurred that suggest to many board members that the office staff of ACB has involved itself perhaps to some extent unduly in matters that are strictly policy matters. This makes people nervous. It raises questions about lines of authority and appropriate or inappropriate activities. And so at that level, I think there have been some discussion, there is some concern, and there's going to have to be some more discussion before it's over and done with. But it's rare, and it's especially rare, as I'm sure you know by now, Jonathan, in ACB, for people to say, yep, we're on the same wavelength about everything, and that's just how we are. Because, in fact, at ACB, people have their varying opinions and attitudes about things, and by golly, they're going to have those opinions and attitudes heard. So part of that is just the healthy give and take of our organization, and I think that its relationship to issues will be largely, if not wholly, resolved during the convention. Now, with regard to some operational factors that may need to get worked out, that'll probably take a little bit more time, but I'm optimistic that we can get these things worked out and move on in a little more harmonious spirit than may have been the case in the last several months.
At the Board of Publications meeting last year at convention, which is a public meeting, of course, you expressed some concern there. What's your view about the demarcation lines between you as president and indeed the Board of Directors and the Board of Publications? Because there does seem to be some debate about where presidential authority starts and stops with regard to ACB publications.
Yeah, I think there is. And I think it's fair to say that most ACB presidents have found a moment of difficulty here or there with board issues versus BOP issues and so forth. I know in chatting with other ACB presidents, it has come up as a source of concern. I've had presidents say to me, for example, that they feel the BOP has outlived its useful life and should just be abolished, the sooner the better. But that hasn't happened. The membership doesn't want that. And I think there are some good reasons for it. As far as the lines of demarcation are concerned, they're fuzzy, they're complex, they're hard to get right. But let me tell you my own personal belief about them. And I do this in the sense of you know, how I have operated and how I would plan to continue to operate. But I also acknowledge there are other points of view that people might wish to express, and there may be certain aspects of this relationship that the ACB membership wants to deal with at this or some other convention, and I think that's fine. So as I give you my personal opinions, keep that in mind as well. I think that the president of ACB has a responsibility to be concerned about and look at the overall health of the organization on a day-to-day basis. There is room in our organization for the president of ACB to be in direct communication with the Board of Publications if and when the president feels a need to do so. In fact, it's an interesting historical note that the first president of ACB, Ned Freeman, was also a member of the Board of Publications. Now, today, people would raise their eyebrows in horror at such an idea. Undue influence, oh, I can hear the words clattering through ACBL and who knows where else as I even think about that. But there is not a necessity, and historically, there is not a precedent for assuming that the president and the BOP do not have a close-knit and a tight relationship. And that is equally true, I think, between the president and the editor of our magazine. The Braille Forum is the flagship publication of our organization. It is, in our organization, how people define us, how people view us. As such, the president and the board have a direct responsibility for helping to ensure, to guarantee that the Braille Forum is the magazine that ACB wants to have to present our message. Now, the Board of Publications is there to act as a bit of a buffer, because sometimes boards can get pretty exercised about certain issues, and it is well known that to have a publication that is just dominated by the board can cause problems, a la the creation of ACB. However, the more important reality and a basic reality is that the Braille Forum being controlled by any single entity is probably not appropriate for the organization. It is not appropriate that only the BOP have the voice with regard to what gets published in the forum, or the editor, or the staff, or the board of ACB. It's a shared, mutual dialogue that has to go on. And so that's basically how I feel about that.
So is the Board of Publications not, in fact, the ultimate arbiter, though, of whether something runs in the forum or does not run?
Yes, they are.
Right.
That's equally true. And that goes beyond the president, the board, or the editor of the magazine. The Board of Publications does have to make a final decision if something is controversial enough to get raised to that level.
Okay. We've kept a call waiting, and I apologize for that. Let's go and talk to area code 410. You have a question for Chris Gray.
Yes, I'll make this very quick. You were talking before about membership, and for those of us that came in through ACB Radio but haven't really been a part of ACB, I was a part of GuideDog Users at one point. How does one sort of get back into the organization? And I'm a little confused between the state affiliates and the special affiliates and how all that works, and that between that and the national and all that. And I'll hang up and just let you take that.
Thank you for your call. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much. Well, maybe we ought to be considering forming an ACB Radio special interest group. That would be a way of involving everybody who's with ACB Radio in ACB.
There's another thing you can add to my successor's job description. Good on them.
Well, he'll be delighted to hear that.
Yeah.
He or she, I should say.
Indeed.
Let me go over the ground very briefly, though, about membership in ACB. I think it's probably true, isn't it, Jonathan, that there are a number of ACB Radio people who are not members of ACB.
Oh, yes, quite a number. In fact, there are some who I think may even be members of NFB.
Really?
Yep.
Well, that's all right. the two ways of becoming, well, there are really three ways of becoming a member of ACB. You can, if you wish, be a member at large. And to do that, you simply send a check for $5 to the national office in Washington, D.C., and you will be a bona fide member of ACB, eligible to vote, eligible to participate in any ACB activity, and eligible to receive the Braille Forum. If you don't want to do that, you can join an affiliate in your state. Area 410 is in the Baltimore area, and there is an affiliate of ACB in Maryland, ACB of Maryland. The president there is Al Petrolungo, and I know Al is always eager for new members, and if you were to join the ACB of Maryland or a local chapter of that affiliate, you would also then become a member of ACB. There is a fairly new organization of guide dog users that is a part of the ACB of Maryland, and if that was where you would want to gravitate, you could think about that as well. Become a member of the guide dog user group, which makes you a member of ACB of Maryland, which makes you a member of ACB. Then we have special interest groups, and you mentioned you were a member of GDUI in the past, so you're fairly aware of that vehicle. By joining a special interest group, you become a member of that group, which is typically nationally based, and that makes you a member of ACB as well, because they're affiliated with the organization and chartered by the organization, just like a state affiliate is chartered by the organization. So I hope that helps you a little bit.
Very good. If you would like to speak with Chris Gray, we're almost at the end of our time, and so if you have a question that I haven't asked, please feel free and get in and ask it. It's area code 212-812-2800, and we'll try and get you on the air as soon as we can. Area code 212-812-2800. And then the spider phone man will ask you for a conference code, and that is 0480-5512. That's 0480-5512. I wonder whether you've talked a lot about what you've enjoyed in the last 2 years and what you feel you've accomplished. Could you tell me the greatest success that you feel ACB has had under your presidency, and perhaps the one thing where you have significant regrets that you'd like to have done better?
Well, gosh, the greatest success. It isn't exactly done yet, but let me tell you the thing that I'm probably the happiest about initiating and about their progress, and that is the Ad Hoc Committee on Transportation. I believe that transportation transcends almost every other issue of concern to blind people in the U.S., and I am so fortunate, Jonathan, even though it took a year and a half to find two wonderful people to have found the co-chairs of that committee and put together, primarily from their advice, the Ad Hoc Committee on Transportation, which is going to be working to create new legislation to try and help ACB come to an internal policy about where we want to go with transportation to the Congress, to the Department of Transportation, and on the state and local level. The other thing that I would mention, because it's done and that I'm very, very pleased about, is the idea reauthorization work chaired by Sue Crawford. And I think that the white paper out of that committee is something that has a long-term benefit to all blind people, and something which I'm just hugely proud of ACB for being able to do. And I'm glad that I could play a role in getting that done. As far as a point that I wish could be different, I guess, and it's something that I do want to focus a great deal of attention on, it's something that I've noticed as president and only come to realize is such a major, major problem in our movement in the last 2 years. And that is the extent to which people seem to not have a great investment in working together on issues. A president ought to be able to get people to work together and not be at odds with each other. When I see people at odds with each other over certain issues as they are today, of course I may be upset about that fact, but what I want to look at is finding ways to bring these people together and get ahead of certain situations to the point where we don't have different understandings, different points of view, different and sometimes conflicting sets of quote-unquote facts floating around within our organization. I tend to be a task-oriented kind of person. I tend to like to get things done quickly. Sometimes I suppose maybe it's good to step back and get things done more slowly and build consensus along the way. I certainly want to do what I can, and I'll probably get some advice about what that is, and that will be a good thing, to work with people to work together and not to draw lines and be at odds with one another where that's possible.
Right, let's talk to area code 360. You have a question for Chris Gray.
Christopher, I'd like to go back and ask a follow-up question about using AARP as a membership and recruitment model. One of the reasons for the success of the American Association of Retired Persons is that when a person turns 50, as I just did the end of last month, and you will around Thanksgiving time, one of the first things that happens is within a month of that, you don't have to write a letter or make a phone call or surf to a website. You automatically get an ARP mailing from AARP. So in effect, what they have is a sort of a push technology recruitment system. It is by snail mail, but you have something in hand from them, even if you don't know that they exist. So does ACB contemplate any kind of a parallel push technology mailing or communication that would let people know about the organization who could be potential members but don't know the organization exists, as is the case currently, as you'll soon discover, with AARP?
Well, AARP, like any organization, is not perfect, and I happen to know this for a fact because they made a mistake and sent me their mail.
Mature for your years,
but
maybe that's what happened.
Well, I don't know how they get their lists of people in their ages, and I'm sure maybe they get census data and things like that. It's a much easier kind of information to get than information about who is blind or visually impaired. The AFB, the National Library Service, other organizations have grappled for the last 100 years trying to figure out how many blind people there are in the country and who they are. I don't think we're ever going to be able to get a system like AARP's, what you call a push kind of membership system, and that's a good way to put it, with the kind of accuracy that AARP has. However, I do know this, that if we begin to offer services that significantly improve people's lives or that give them more freedom of choice in their lives, such as better medical insurance, they're going to find us. And it won't happen so fast, but I think that it will ultimately be very significant and lead to somewhat of a turnaround in membership for the organization.
Well, we're just about at the end of our time, and I will give you a chance to make any comment in closing that you'd like to. But just before we do that, if you're elected for another term, and someone's back here in 2 years' time interviewing you, what would you like to be able to tell them about where ACB is at the end of that 2-year term under your presidency?
Well, I intend to focus a great deal of energy and time in the financial area, as I have so far. So I would hope to be able to say that ACB is doing swimmingly by that time, financially. And if swimming only means, doing the dog paddle, but we're improving, well, that's great. I would hope that in the next 2 years we can make real progress, or hopefully even conclude the work that we're doing right now with regard to the accessible currency. And I hope, Jonathan, that we can find our way, although I don't have a clear vision yet of how we'll do this. I have some ideas that I plan to try and implement after the convention to do so. I want to find some new ways for ACB to work regionally and even from state to state in developing leadership and in having a structure that lets us learn in significant ways and move forward and make progress more than once a year at a convention. For example, New Mexico, Colorado, and a couple of other states are planning right now to have a multi-state regional convention. ACB had great success years ago when we had a series of regional leadership seminars. And I would like, probably through grant applications and various things, but also just through some organization and thrust, to put some real energy into making that happen. Now, bear in mind, it won't really be my energy, because I guess I've learned in the last 2 years that the presidents can't get an awful lot done themselves. They can, however, work with others and make things happen for others to get things done. Grease the skids, as it were, or try and create an environment where ideas can come to the foreground and flourish. So I hope to be able to put the right people in place to make these kinds of regional events and membership events happen in the next 2 years.
Are there any additional comments you wanted to make in closing?
Well, no, you've asked me great questions, and we've covered a lot of ground in 1 hour. I certainly do hope to be successful in my candidacy, and would welcome a second term. So much of any president's first term is about learning, about trying to find a way to function in a role that at the level of ACB is different than almost any other role that most of us have had the chance to have, because of its complexity, because of its diversity. And I would like to use the next 2 years to use what I've learned and to continue, I hope, improving things for blind people and for the American Council of the Blind.
I appreciate your time, and we will be there, of course, broadcasting live, all things being equal technically, when you bring that gavel down to begin the convention on, it'll be 2 weeks right now. It'll be on, won't it?
That's right. I've got to write my speech.
Yes, you must do that.
Jonathan, let me add my congratulations to you for some great new opportunities for you. I sure hope that you hang in here with ACB Radio in some capacity. And I can't thank you enough for all that you've done. You're one of the few places where I've never had to worry. I've always known that the radio was on, that things were moving along well, and if there was a problem, you would take care of it, and you always have.
Well, thank you very much for that, and we'll look forward to seeing you at convention and perhaps getting a quick interview with you during all the hustle and bustle.
You better believe it.
Thanks, Chris.
Love to do it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now. That's Chris Gray, who's a candidate, of course, for the presidency of the ACB and also the incumbent. We'll be back shortly when it will be a blind line open forum. Oh, my goodness me. I'm having fun with buttons today. It definitely must be time for me to go. It's time for him to go, as Al Gore would say. Let's try this one.
Are you having difficulty reading the newspaper? Are you experiencing severe vision loss? Or do you know someone who is? If you answer yes to any of these questions, then the American Council of the Blind can help you. We are blind and visually impaired people from every walk of life who work together to enhance our lives. For more information or our membership application, call 800-424-8666 or contact us online at www.acb.org. The American Council of the Blind, forging new frontiers for our future.
Programming on ACB Radio is made possible in part through financial support from the Verizon Corporation. Verizon, a proud supporter of ACB Radio.
Yes. It's that much-lamented music welcoming you to another edition of Blind Line, the original interactive talk show exclusively for the blind and vision impaired. I'm Jonathan Mosen. It's good to have you along. And if you would like to participate, it's an open forum and you can get in touch. Area code 212-812-2800 is the number. That's 212-812-2800. And the conference code, courtesy of spiderphone.com, is 0480-5512. That's 0480-5512. Well, only one or two major issues happening in the world. The Harry Potter book's out, Order of the Phoenix. Anyone else finished it? I finished it in record time. I just could not put it down. It's an amazing book yet again. And if you heard Dave Williams and I talking on the Mosen Explosion on Friday, we were both wrong about the characters. The character who dies, we didn't guess. We didn't guess correctly. So there you go. Just goes to show you that she's full of surprises. Another issue I thought we could just hear from you about. Have you experienced the Segway yet, if you're listening to us in the United States? This is this crazy invention that everybody was looking forward to so much, and everybody thought it was going to be something to do with teleporting or some amazing new mode of transport that was going to save us time and everything, but it's this kind of... Well, I understand the author doesn't like it being referred to as a scooter because it's full of gyroscopes and high-tech whiz-bang things, but it's like a scooter, and it goes at 12.5 miles per hour, and they let them ride on the sidewalks in the United States. Now, this is causing quite a bit of fuss. I know that people in consumer organizations of the blind have expressed concern about this, and there was an interesting article that I picked up from USA Today about Segways, because since March they've been available for around about $4,000 to individual consumers. And the USA Today in this article says, and I've got it in front of me here, on the nation's increasingly congested sidewalks, the Segway gets mixed reviews from pedestrians already jockeying for space with inline roller skates, skateboarders, cyclists, and dog walkers. Now, here's this guy. He says, "This isn't competition for the sidewalk. This is an invasion." Let's not be emotive, will we? This is according to Bill Wilkinson, who is the executive director of the National Center for Bicycling and Walking. That's a non-profit organization that's based in Washington, D.C. He continues, "The sidewalk is supposed to be a safe zone. And now we're putting something there that goes at 12.5 miles an hour. What are they thinking? I think they're out to lunch," he says. "It's a threat to public safety." So have you had any experience yet of Segways? Because there are state laws. They've got an incredible lobbying mechanism, apparently. And these guys are going all around the states of the U.S. And I imagine once they've done that, they'll go further. And getting laws passed that make it permissible for Segways to go on the sidewalks, or the footpaths, as we call them in many other parts of the world. And only a very small number. That the states that have, well, I don't know whether acquiesced is to a mode of a term, but who've consented to these laws, now go well into the 30s. There are some individual cities in the U.S. who have passed anti-Segway laws, or who have said, no, we're not going to let you ride on the sidewalk, but most are not. So have you been hit by a passing Segway? I guess they might be quite hard to detect audibly, especially when you've got traffic going on the roads.
So your thoughts on any of those issues or anything else you want to raise? Let's talk to area code 717 that was on the wall very quickly. Hello there.
Yes, never heard of Segways, but I'd sure hate to be hit by one.
Me
I'm
too.
A little bit scared of the fact that if someday we get to electric cars, that they might be so very quiet that they would be difficult to detect. But one other thing very quickly, I did not know until last night that you were leaving, but good luck with whatever you're doing, whatever it is. And do you suppose ACB radio will still be around?
Most definitely. No question about that. ACB radio consists of about 60 people. The rest of them are volunteers, and they do a fantastic job. And ACB will keep going from growing from strength to strength. I have no doubt about that.
Are you moving on to new work or something?
I am.
Oh my! Well, I tell you, whatever you're doing, good luck and God bless.
Well, thank you, and I will be able to hopefully say before much longer what it is I'm doing. But I appreciate your comments. It's very kind of you.
Okay, yeah. And. I hope that if I am at the convention that I might have a chance to say hello. I don't know as I'm going or not yet because I can't go. If I did go, I couldn't afford the whole thing, so I'd have to pick out what days I wanted to go.
Well, I hope that you do. If you can, I hope you come for some of it at least, because it's quite an experience being in that big group of blind people and discussing issues. And, of course, if you're into seeing the latest and greatest technology and other things, there's the exhibits to go to. And
what days will those be on?
Saturday through until, I think, the last day is Wednesday off the top of my head. But you may just want to check on the website. If you go to the main ACB website at acb.org, there's a link there for the convention information, and you'll be able to find information there.
Okay. But, that Segway business is kind of unnerving. Fortunately, so far I've never even heard of them or whatever, so I guess I'm kind of lucky.
You are.
But
I wonder whether they can be adapted for blind people, though. You know, stick a white cane on the front of them or something.
One thing I have wondered seriously is, heaven forbid, if somebody's blind and needs to be in a wheelchair, how on earth they would cope?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I know of a number of blind people who have sighted spouses where the blind person's also in a wheelchair. Or what sometimes happens, too, is you get a blind person and someone in a wheelchair who get together as well. So the blind person does the pushing and the person in the wheelchair does the directing, the navigating.
Right.
Quite cool.
Mm-hmm. I've done that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Thank you for your call. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye now. This is Blind Line on ACB Radio Mainstream, the talk of the blind community. Let's just see if we can find someone else to talk to. Oh, we can find someone to talk to. I think this is area code 760. Hello there.
Hello, Jonathan. Carlos, former host of the 80s show.
Oh, man, how's it going?
Good, and yourself?
Good, no doubt you're burying yourself in WindowEyes 4.5 Public Beta 2.
Oh, no doubt about it. I'm enjoying it.
Not that Public Beta 1 lasted very long, did it?
No, and that just shows the power of the new error reporting tool that they have. They got some feedback and put up a second beta within 24 hours of the release of the first beta.
Now you should be a spin doctor.
Yeah. So, are you going to review, or do you know anybody that's going to review the beta now that it's out to the public anyway? Anybody that's going to review it for ACB Radio?
If you're volunteering, that'd be fantastic. I've had it on my list, and I'm not sure whether with preparing for convention and sort of, you know, selling my house and all sorts of terrible things, I'm not sure whether I'm going to be able to give it the comprehensive attention it deserves. So if you're interested in putting a piece together that we might be able to run next week, we would love that.
I will see what I can do. I'll communicate with you through email and
yeah.
See what we can do about that.
Maybe maybe you could split up the work with somebody like Raoul, who's also a huge WindowWise fan and power user.
Yeah, there's a lot of new features to go.
Oh, they've done a very nice job with the web stuff, no doubt about that.
Right, and I've done some playing around with the remote desktop. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'd be interested. So does that mean then that the remote assist feature in Windows XP works, you know, where you can ask somebody to assist another user, or is that something different?
I read that part is not accessible at this time, but I'm not sure exactly on the difference in the technology. I would have thought the technology would be the same. Only thing I can think of is on the server end of, you know, your remote desktop session, WindowWise would have to be installed. So if I'm, you know, a blind person sitting here and I want to help my sighted friend, they most likely wouldn't have WindowWise installed on their computer that would act as the server. So that's the only reason I would think it wouldn't work, but I would have thought the technology for that would be pretty much the same.
Okay, I'll have to read up on the special page that they've got on this whole stuff, but it sounds like they've done a very nice job, and I think it's exciting. I think things got a bit pedestrian for a while with the battle of the screen readers, and nothing much seemed to be happening of great note to me, but I have a feeling that we're going to enter an era of quite exciting competition, particularly now that GW Micro has stopped all that necessary conversion to the sort of XP NT platform. Now they can really concentrate on the feature set.
Exactly. That took a lot of work on their part, I know, and they don't have as many resources as the major competitor. So I think it took a little longer, but now that they do have that issue out of the way, they can really focus on features, which is great.
I'm
really enjoying these new features.
Excellent.
So, as far as the Segway goes, I've heard of the Segway, and I remember about a year ago, like on the Today Show, Good Morning America, one of the major television morning news programs here in the United States, they had the inventor on, and they kept saying, well, this is, the greatest invention and so long, and, you heard about it before it came out, but you never knew what it was. And I personally was a little disappointed that he, just came up with this little scooter thing, and it sounds nice, it sounds really neat, but I don't know, I was kind of let down. They had all the hype of it's going to be such a life changing thing, but
yeah, it was bizarre, and everybody was watching that thing. At last, a big exclusive, the new invention is going to be revealed, and it turned out to be this high tech scooter. I mean, give me a break.
Yeah, I'm thinking, well, that's not all that spectacular to me. It's not going to be, I don't know. And I think it's really a hazard. I'm thinking, 12 miles per hour on a sidewalk, especially, a major city, with congested sidewalks like New York. I can't imagine someone wanting to cruise around, and I don't know. Maybe they should have, will they have any certification? Will a person need a license to use one? I just could see someone being very reckless,
Yeah, I don't know. I understand they have been banned from some subways, but you're right. I've walked around places like New York, and for that matter, even Paris and London, and you can hardly walk, let alone ride along on this groovy thing.
Right. Exactly. So I don't see. I don't know. It's just not as to me, it doesn't live up to the hype it generated before it came out. Even on smaller, city sidewalks, some cities have very bumpy sidewalks. Might be older sidewalks where there's a lot of cracks and pieces of the sidewalk missing, or a tree root, has buckled the sidewalk. So I don't know how well it would do on the surface like that.
Very good.
I did hear that I have a seeing eye dog. I just got him last summer at this time, And I'm on the seeing eye list, and one person that was just in the last month's class did say that she got to see one of these segues. And I don't know if it's true or not, but I heard they might possibly show one at the convention. I don't know.
Hitch it up to the back of the harness and then jump on the Segway. A dog-drawn Segway. Yeah.
Yeah, but I could see it, you know, really posing a real issue. I don't know how dogs would react. She said that her dog reacted really, really nicely, so hopefully I'll get a chance to see one someday and see how my dog reacts to it.
Yeah, it'd be fascinating.
If it becomes popular, but I don't foresee this thing becoming very popular, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, I hope you're right in some ways. But, well, I appreciate your calling, and, you know, do give some thought to, if you've got some time, to this window-wise review, because we would love to give it some attention.
Okay, I will definitely do that. And before I hang up, Jonathan, I would like to thank you for all your hard work and dedication you've given to ACB Radio. I was very, you know, I saw your email, and, you know, it was something I never thought, you know, I'd see, but, you know, everyone must, you know, pursue their opportunities in life, and I don't blame you there, but you'll be deeply missed, not only on the interactive channel, but also here, you know, with your shows of Blind Line and Main Menu that several people listen to every week. So I'd like to thank you for your hard work and dedication, and also like to wish you luck for the future.
Thank you very much, and yeah, all things must pass, as George Harrison would say, and it's been great fun. But I'm looking forward to new challenges as well. So, yeah, sometimes it's time for a change, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you so much for all you've done.
Thank you very much, Carlos.
I look forward to seeing you hopefully at the convention. I know you're a busy guy, but hopefully I'll get to run into you.
Oh, cool. Well, that would be great. We might be able to get you behind the microphone to do some time at the exhibit hall on Interactive.
Oh, I hope so. The exhibit hall is my most favorite part. This is my first ACB convention. I've been to an NFB convention, and the exhibit hall is, you know, my favorite part. So,
yeah.
I know I will be in the exhibit hall. So, hopefully, yeah, I'll get to say a few words.
Great. Well, we will be broadcasting from the exhibit hall, so you may want to contact Steve Matsura and see if he can assign you to doing some time if you've got some, because it's always hard to get people to staff it, actually, you know, because people want to run away and do other things.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Okay, I will see what I can do about that.
Good on you. We will enlist you and have a wonderful evening.
Okay, you too, Jonathan.
See you later. Bye now.
Bye.
This is Blind Line. Hello.
Hey, good evening, Jonathan. It was good to get through here.
Yeah.
First of all, I'd like to second the gentleman that preceded me on the comments that he said about your service with ACB Radio and what you've done. And when Frank gave me the email the other morning, he says, wait till you see this. And I read it, and I was in shock. I was like, I never expected to see. That was the last thing I expected to see. But we want to congratulate you on your future endeavors and wish you good luck. And thank you for all your services that you've done over the past 4 years.
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you, and I do appreciate it.
And as far as the Segway goes, they did a local broadcast of that about a year ago, I think it was. And the only thing I could think of is a motorized skateboard, is all I can think of, with a steering wheel. And they had one of the news people try it, and she said it was tricky. It wasn't as easy as it looked, I guess. And I'm always afraid of people on skateboards when I'm trying to go down the street, so God knows what this will be like.
I was reading, actually, that President George W. was on one at Kennebunkport in Maine on his father's estate, and they had a Segway there. I shouldn't laugh. And he got on, and he toppled off.
Oh, well. It wouldn't surprise me, but it's not the easiest thing in the world, I guess, to maneuver. And I've never rode a bike. I never rode a two-wheeler. I was never one to be able to balance. So to do something like that, I just, couldn't do it. You won't see me on one, I know that.
Ah, I'd like a good tandem, though. There's something pretty special about getting on a tandem with someone and pedaling around the place.
That's true.
I love that.
I think I was on one once several years ago, and it is kind of fun. At least somebody's in the front controlling it, and you're in the back, so that's
oh, absolutely, fun. Yes.
But anyway, I wish you good luck, and I heard you say you're selling your house. Gee, you just moved in there not too long ago.
About 3 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. I knew it wasn't too long ago. So,
my wife keeps telling me this. She says,
we just moved in. Now I got to pack again.
Yeah, she's shall we say, less than overjoyed about that part of it.
Yeah. Oh, and I bet your kids are probably helping out too. Ha ha.
Yeah, you know, it's a hassle because we've not only, you know, with four children and we've had a lot of space here, and you just accumulate so much junk and you have to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's there's no doubt. I mean, I see a big garage sale. What we have over here, they call them garage sales.
Yes, that's right. We have them.
You put them out and then you sell all your stuff, then you get money on.
Yeah, good idea.
Yeah.
I can save up to buy a Segway.
On that note.
Okay.
Hey, have a good future, and we will see you in Pittsburgh.
Have a good life. Thank you very much, you too. Well, we'll look forward to seeing you in Pittsburgh.
No, we'll definitely be there.
Okay.
Okay.
See you later.
Bye now.
Bye. I can actually spell Pittsburgh now. It took me ages and ages and ages to learn how to spell Pittsburgh. Hi, this is Blindline.
Oh, good. Good evening. How are you doing?
You've come on up as the unknown caller again.
I know. It's because of that stupid Big Zoo. I've got to do something about that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm not a known. Generally speaking, sometimes I'm too well known. That's the.
It should come up notorious caller.
Well, yeah, or something. Should come up with a little big red button for my, you know, the redneck that I'm reputed to have.
Redneck button.
Yeah. You know,
okay button. Cancel button. Redneck button.
I don't think I'm a redneck. The Segway, I have, of course, we live in a small city, and so it hasn't come to our city yet. Probably won't for a while, I would think. But I think it's a real problem, and I think between the Segways and the roundabouts that are now, discussions are now coming back to haunt us again. And the reason for roundabouts, or the desired construction thereof, because you don't need traffic lights. Well, if you don't need traffic lights, I don't care if the vehicles are going in one direction or not. It seems to me that only logical sense would say that it's going to be like crossing a street without a traffic light. And I think that's a real problem. Talk of roundabouts has come up again in Los Angeles and up in Fresno, the local city to our north. And I don't know, between that and the Segway, I think we're under pretty heavy assault.
Yeah, it does sound like it. It sounds like getting around in the United States, except for a few places, is really quite a hassle. We're doing okay. We've got a lot of audio and tactile signals around and things like that, but where we are doing hopelessly is in the area of public transport and announcement of stops. I don't think we've ever had any case in this country that's challenged a bus company for not announcing the stops. And that's just such a frustration if you're in an unfamiliar city and you jump on a bus and you haven't got a clue. You've got to pretty much rely on another passenger that's next to you or the driver to tell you when you're at your stop.
Well, I hate to tell you, Jonathan, maybe I'm bursting a bubble here. We have laws that supposedly dictate that. I would suggest that compliance is, if you're going to take an average, probably 30%. I mean, it's really not much better than what you've got.
Okay.
I don't want to just, you know, but having the laws there is fine, but it doesn't actually get the job done. I do think that it's just something that takes time and time and time and time, and you know, we're slowly getting there. One of the things that they have instituted, and we have it here even in our small city, is automatic stop announcement things. They're horrible. At least the ones in our city are. They're malcalibrated. And they're just not really worth it. In fact, you press the
the button or ring the bell, you pull the cord, and this thing comes out and says, "Stop requested." Well, yeah, we know the stop's requested. I mean, I'm thinking it sounds like it's more for the as much for the driver as anything else. Like, stop.
Well, that's the thing too. I have been in some places where they've announced stops in America, and the guy doing the announcing of the stops is so difficult to understand, or the speakers are so busted that it's impossible to really understand what it is they're saying. Now, this is the only redeeming feature I could possibly name, if you ask me, about Los Angeles International Airport, actually. When you get on that transit bus to go from one terminal to another, they do have a sort of an automated system where the driver's pushing a button, and it's got a very good sort of voice saying, "Welcome to the transit bus," and you can understand every word the guy's saying. But that's about the only thing that you can say positive about that airport.
I was going to say, LA Airport, now, I have not flown internationally out of LAX, so we have to walk, and it's just abominable. But anyway, the other thing I was going to say is one day we were on the train. We were going southbound, and the announcements on the train were for the stops going northbound, so it was entirely wrong. It was the funniest thing. We were just laughing all out of it. By the way, if Chris is still listening, Pam would like him to know that she received her first AARP advertisement at age, she thinks it was at 42. So,
I wonder how they get their names.
I have no idea. From a hat, I suppose. Drawing, I don't know. Anyway, I certainly wish you the best. I have been in contact with someone you and I both know, and I know a little bit more.
Oh, there are leaks and leaks and leaks. Well, should I? I have to cut you off now. Then
I only know where you're going.
Okay. Well, there you go.
And I'm not going to tell.
And you don't know where I've been.
I know where you.
But they are talking head song.
I know where you. Well, let's put it this way. I know where you were. I know where it makes logical sense for you to be going. Let's put it that way.
Okay then.
Anyway,
well,
but I do wish you the very, very best. Of course, we'll see you in Pittsburgh, and I hope we don't get run over by Segways on the way.
I agree. I hope not, and we'll look forward to seeing you.
But I would like to try driving one.
Yeah, me too. I think it'd be a blast.
I think it'd be great. I think it'd be a real kick. Now, should I tell you about the wheelchair races we used to have when I was in college? We had a lot of kids in wheelchairs. A friend of mine and I figured out that, you know, we had these really long hauls. We figured we could have a great time. We just get on one end of the hall and just start moving. It was, anyway, I really fear for, you know, having to be in one, though, if ever I am, because it's pretty scary. Anyway, all the best, Jonathan. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. See you later. Thought he wasn't going to hang up for a minute. Always got to check these things, you know. Hello, area code 541.
Well, I would be remiss.
Oh, would you?
If I didn't bid you a fond farewell.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm not going. I mean, there is one more blind line to go. So, you know, you can farewell me next week if you want to.
Okay, we'll do that then. Because yeah. I don't want to say goodbye twice.
No.
But at least in a radio like this, at least people are permitted to say goodbye. When I
I know.
My last gig, the morning I left the air, I did not know. I knew things were going to hit the fan soon, but I didn't know they were going to hit the fan like that. And
I
was not able to say goodbye.
I've been in that situation too, and it absolutely sucks. You sort of get called into the office. In fact, in my case, I was sort of called into the office about, I think it was like 3 or 4 hours before my show was supposed to start. This when I was doing a nighttime talk show, and told, you know, bye bye sort of thing. So yeah, that's horrible. So at least at least you get to go out with a little bit of dignity on the old ACB radio, you know.
Well, you know, I was ended the show at 10 o'clock, and the person who co-anchored and myself were each told that our services were no longer needed.
Yes.
And I had to did a split gig, so the afternoon gig was gone, so I was not able to say goodbye to a lot of the people that I had come to know in my tenure there. That was not a good thing.
No, it's not. It really makes you feel sort of like you've left something undone.
By the way, you were mentioning that I was tied up elsewhere, and you mentioned something about the GW Micro thing.
Yeah.
I would assume you're doing a main menu this Tuesday?
Well, what you got to remember is we did interview Doug, who's already told us what's in 4.5. That was quite some time back.
Sure, I remember that.
I would like to get a review done, but I think that it's learning a new beta version of a screen reader takes some time, and I don't think that before the convention I have that time, and then of course after the convention I'm gone. So I'm hoping that someone like Carlos or Raul or a couple of them between them will come up with a review for us so that we can profile 4.5.
You know what's interesting with that new 4.5 beta 2, I'm having some little bits of problems, but it was interesting because I'm finding, I don't know if it's just my configuration, but I can no longer do the control alt down arrow to go from one control to the next.
Oh, they've taken that away, but you will be able to press the C key, and that will take you from...
Ah, because when I did control alt down arrow, a weird thing happened, and it just went silent on me.
Well, C should take you from one control to the next, because they've got this amazing...
That's a good idea, and yet it's so good you don't think about that, because, you know, those little things are so long, or, you know, the README files are so long, boy, you can get lost in those.
I know, that's always a challenge, isn't it? It's the challenge for developers and screen reader vendors and things, just to make the documentation accessible, although I have to say, I think... Now, that wasn't in the README file. You actually have to go to their website, the gwmicro.com/beta, and on there there's a page that you can link to that tells you all about the new features. And I have to say, I don't think that it's written in quite a technical way. In fact, it's written in this kind of way that makes it seem like it's not even for the end user. It talks about when the user does this. It's very sort of... not typical of GW Micro's documentation writing style, so I don't know quite what went on there.
It is funny because I'm one of these people who loves to change synthesizers. If I'm using one, you know, because it's just nice variety. Well, using the DEC XS32 in the first beta, I had the thing get stuck. You know, it was sort of like, reading something. And it just got stuck, and it would not stop no matter what I did. I could not do the control alt delete. I could not do anything. It was just like, you know, one of those rap songs.
Amen.
So I finally had to do something I know you don't do. Just finally had to turn it off manually and say, no, I can't do it. You know, a hard reboot because it would not stop.
I think it's just brilliant that they've put DEC XS32 in there for those people who don't already own it.
Oh, I do too. And I owned DEC XS32 for a while, but what happened, it conflicted, I don't know, with my antivirus stuff. I tried to turn it off, and it just would install to a certain point, and then just would do no more.
All right, okay. That could have helped you with that.
And it was just so traumatic, and I just threw up my hands and... said some terrible words that were done.
Well, I like it. I'm wrapped that they've done that. I still think that Deck Talk is the speech I prefer in terms of a compromise between clarity and still being able to crank it way up and have it intelligible.
You know what I like about the deck is the Deck Access 32 is, because, I mean, I think the eloquence is pretty good. But the DEC Access 32 has a nice little range of speech. In other words, it just doesn't go... It's not so monotonish.
That's right. It's got good inflection.
Inflection.
That's what you're saying. I'll tell you what I also like for very accurate pronunciation and cranking your way up is the Keynote Gold speech. That is superb. Superb.
And that's the same speech that's in the... I think it's in the Language Master.
I think the Language Master, I think, uses Audaptor Speech or something, which is based vaguely on it, I think. But it's the same one that's in the Braille Note.
Right. Cause yeah. It sure sounds close, because I've heard the Braille note, too.
Yeah.
And it's really good. So, will question, I know you're going to be leaving soon. Will main menu continue after you're gone?
Sorry, say again?
Will main menu continue after
you're gone? Oh, yes, yes, yes. Panic not. Yes.
Okay, well, I mean, but I really feel, I mean, I've got to say this, I really feel, and I'll talk to you again next week, but I've got to visit with you over the last several years, and, you know, it's just going to be, it's going to seem strange for you not to be, you know.
Yeah, I appreciate it, but you know what, I've left radio stations before, and I know how it is. You know, a couple of weeks after you've left, no one remembered you were there, and it will be fine. You know, there will be people. I'm sure somebody will be chosen carefully who can continue things like Main Menu, especially because I think Main Menu is the flagship product of ACB Radio. It has by far the largest audience, and so I'm sure they'll take great care to get somebody who will continue that. And
because every Tuesday, I kind of you know, my schedule, you know, just works around Main Menu to the extent that I can listen to it. And of course, sometimes if there's not something I'm interested in, then I will go away. But if there's something that I'm interested in, it's just a regular mainstay.
Well, believe me, my schedule's worked around it too for the last, goodness knows. And you know, one thing, I've really enjoyed this, but one thing that I won't miss is the sheer stress of trying to come up with 2 hours of fresh content every week. I mean, goodness gracious, it's not easy. And we've had a lot of people who've assisted with that from around the world contributing great content.
Will you have the same email address? I mean, if some of us choose to keep in contact with you over the years? And
oh, yeah, I'll have the same email address, because that's why I've got my own domain name, you know, my Mosen.org.
Okay.
But I promise you, I don't think you'll find that I'm vanishing.
Oh, I like these cryptic kind of comments. I'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye. There we go. ACB Radio Mainstream. We've got one call to get through, and oh, then we can take your call if you'd like to give us a call. So the number's 212-812-2800 and the conference code 0480-5512. And I think this is area code 254. Hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Just called to congratulate you on whatever your, you know, future endeavors are.
Thank you.
And tell you thank you for all the work you've done for the, you know, ACB Radio Mainstream and the other streams.
Thanks, I appreciate that.
And I was wondering, have you got a hold of the newest Harry Potter book?
Not only have I got hold of it, but I've finished it.
Oh, wow. And did you read it by scanning it, or?
Yeah. It was a family outing. We packed the children in our little, we've got this, how would you describe it? There's a name for it. It's sort of like a little van, like a minivan. And we packed them all in their car seats and things, the little ones, and we drove down and we stood in the line, and we, not only that, but we also picked up the DVD of the Chamber of Secrets at the same time, and at exactly 11 o'clock on Saturday morning our time, which is when it went on sale, 11:01 actually it was, we were able to get in there and buy our book. We rushed home, and I voraciously scanned it for a few hours, and and read it non-stop, pretty much, and it took quite a while to read, but my gosh, it was just enthralling.
And which scanning software did you use? You know, there's like a couple of them out there.
I'm going to get somebody annoyed if I tell you. I think I'd rather, as long as I'm still with ACB Radio, I think I'd rather not say. But it was one, I mean, well, I think Open Book and Kurzweil would have done an equal job of it.
Okay, well, you know, that'd be a pretty good task, you know, 900 pages and stuff like that, so.
Yeah, because, well, from my understanding, both of the packages, they use the same engines. Like, I think Open Book has a third engine, whereas Kurzweil doesn't, but apart from that, they should do a fairly similar job of scanning that kind of material. And I, you see, for that sort of, I will go as far as saying that for that sort of thing, I just, I believe that paying for the blindness products is really worthwhile because it allows you to read the book when you're scanning it. I mean, by the time I had a bit of speed on and I was on two-page scanning, you know, I could be scanning maybe 40 or 50 pages ahead of what I was reading, and I could still keep reading while I was scanning.
Yeah, that's real helpful. Well, again, congratulations on whatever you're doing in the future, and thanks for making ACB Radio, you know, able to be a really good show while you were there.
Well, thank you for taking the time to ring. I appreciate that.
All righty. Well, good luck in the future, and have a nice night.
Thank you. You too. Okay. Bye now.
All right. Bye-bye.
There you go. This is ACB Radio Mainstream, and I'm not deliberately being obtuse about what I'm doing. I just I don't believe I necessarily have the word yet that I can tell you what I'm doing. I'm hoping I can tell you that quite soon, because it's frustrating not to be able to. Let's see. I'm slowing down. Age is catching up. Ooh. Is that going to work? Or have we just... hello, this is Blindline.
Hi, this is Jess again, Jonathan.
Hey, Jess, how's it going? I see you've come up on the friends list.
Yes, I have. It's going pretty good. I'm sad to see that you're leaving, though. Don't worry, I didn't stay up too late. Fortunately, I didn't have to go to work that day, but hey, you know what? actually, I had two questions for you, and that was, one of them was, I read this ad that came on. I don't know if it was, I don't know if somebody sent it to me or what, but it was something to do with some kind of a product called the Opticon or something.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And I know we reviewed this on the main menu, but it said that the P2RD was going to replace that, and I was just wondering, like, what did the Opticon actually do?
Yeah, we did review the P2. Yeah, we did review it on main menu. The Opticon, some people who were trained really well in its use still swear by them, and they go to some lengths to have a number of them there in case one breaks because they're not made anymore. The idea of it is that you put your finger on kind of an array, and you leave your finger flat on the array. You don't move your finger, and then you have a little camera. And you run the camera across a printed page, and it raises the letters on this array. So as you scan the printed page with your camera, you feel with your finger on the array, the camera moving over the letters on the page. So the idea is that you can use it to read all sorts of print. You can use it to read labels on bottles or things on screens or on displays, all kinds of things.
But I guess it's not for the very beginning user, it's not as fast as reading a real page.
Oh, no. I don't know. I'd be really interested to know from somebody who's a power user of the Opticon what their WPM rate is. But no, it's certainly not as fast as a really proficient braille reader by any means.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, I would say reading out loud, reading out loud, I have to kind of, you know, I don't know about how the rest of us do it, but for me personally, you know, I kind of have to... read ahead on the bro page and then kind of process the what I'm reading in my head and then kind of speak it, you know, but I don't know if what you're describing in the Opticon is just letter by letter or what.
Yeah, I think you would. I've used the Opticon, and I actually had Opticon in training as a kid. I wasn't terribly effective at it. I don't think you'd be able to look at, say, a whole word with it. I think you would have to process in your brain each letter as you ran across the display. I'm pretty sure you would.
Whoops.
What happened to you?
That's very interesting. I'll have to look into that. Another thing is, though, is I was kind of wondering, on the future edition of Main Menu, are we ever going to be able to see, again, another comparison or maybe another in-depth article about JFW and WonderWise?
I think it's about time another one was done, because a lot has changed since the last one was done. So, yes, I hope that the... I hope that the future host of Main Menu will do that.
Yeah, because... and I'm not going to tell you, you know... I'm not going to ask for any suggestions, because that would break the whole point, but I'm working at a university now, and to basically make a long story short, they are using laptops, A30s to be exact, IBM's, what are they, ThinkPads, and they've loaded pretty much Windows XP, and they've loaded, you know, they've kind of created their own Windows image of all these programs that get loaded with it. And one of the screen readers, I'm not going to say what, but one of the screen readers is terribly, terribly slow. It's just like working on a 386.
Ha, that one, that'll be Jaws then. Yeah. Jaws is. Yeah, I mean, they. Well, Jaws is. There are certain configurations where Jaws is very sluggish at the moment under under XP and 2K and that sort of thing. And it is a known issue. And I think we might have talked to Eric about it on the air. So yeah, that's a factor, all right.
Yeah, and you know. Of course, I'm not going to confirm or deny your assumption there. But,
oh, of course.
Well, you know what? Why don't I just end the call right now, and I'll tell you which one it is.
Oh, okay then.
No.
Well.
It's going to be a very interesting 3 to 4 weeks of working and seeing what the real deal is, if any. But.
And
I seriously think it's a... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go on.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, but and as well as that, you are coming to convention, is that right?
Yep.
Cool.
Yep, I am. But, yeah, I just think it's about time that another comparison of JFW and Windows has to be done.
I agree. And if I was staying here, I would probably be working on one because a lot's changed. So, yeah, it's important to keep those things up to date, particularly because people go back into the archives, you know, and they listen to these things sometimes before purchasing. And I think that a main menu does owe it to the vendors to make sure that that comparison is kept fairly current.
Yeah, I have to agree. And it's just very interesting to, you know, that I have to say I'm really thrilled that we're able to talk about this, you know, this works well with JAWS. This doesn't require WindowEyes. You know, I mean, 20 years ago, we wouldn't even be talking about this kind of stuff.
No.
Yeah.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing you at convention, Jess, and good luck with your job. I'm pleased to hear you got some summer employment.
I appreciate it. Yep, and good luck with your future employment as well, John.
Thank you. See you later. Okay, bye.
The American Foundation for the Blind is proud to support ACB Radio. AFB is the publisher of Access World, the only assistive technology magazine for people who are blind or visually impaired. Visit www.afb.org to read a sample issue.
Hi, this is Blindline.
Hi, Jonathan.
Hello.
I was so concerned about... being able to speak on behalf of the Opticon, I actually am sitting, I'm letting my dinner get cold.
Wild. I'm pleased you're such a devoted advocate for the Opticon.
Oh, I am. I truly am. I have been using the Opticon since 1975, I think. And it is not as fast as Braille, but... in many ways, I like the combination of having the Opticon and the scanner. I think the more tools you have available to you, the better off you are. But as far as reading word by word, I'm fast enough at this, and I haven't done a time test since the last time I got out of training, and I did teach it for a while. But I'm sure my results then wouldn't be as they are now when I left training, my own training. But there's a lot of comprehension that goes on. Once you get the idea, it's very much like any reading. You're reading a word, and you know that the topic is airplanes, A-I-R-P. It's airplanes.
Right, and you can quickly skip along to the next word.
Exactly. And I do the camera just zizzes along from the next letter to the next letter to the next letter, by the way, this is one of the things that they taught me, was to learn to anticipate what the next word was, what the word was going to be. And there are many times when, for example, if I have to check an envelope and I don't have the scanner turned on, it's easier for me to go ahead and check the opticon with the opticon, and I can then decide whether I want to scan whatever this is or not. In fact, Dave and I have our scanners, and sometimes we will sit there, the two of us, and sometimes he'll come up with a document that just, a page that just won't scan, or an envelope that just won't scan. So they work in harmony. And sometimes, and of course, if you have a handwritten page, it's very difficult with the scanner. It's, well, you can't do it with a scanner, and you can't, sometimes it's very difficult with the opticon unless you know the writing or can make the changes in magnification or screen focus. It's just, there's an art to it. But if you get to be comfortable with it and really use it, as I did for many years and still do, I'll tell you, I wouldn't trade it. I'm glad that I did not have to make the choice of selling it to afford my scanner. And yes, it was the only game in town for a long time, and what a thrill that was.
Yes. Yes.
Silly little sentences they gave you. Tom has the ice, the mice hate Tom, you know, when they taught you the letters. I mean, those were the test sentences. It's amazing how good you felt. I actually read that.
Yeah, I never cease to be amazed by the applications that accomplished opticon users puts their opticon to. Even things like, if they get a new appliance, then sometimes it's possible to use the opticon to find out what the various buttons do.
It sure is. My magnification lens is sort of on the... I can't do what I used to, because that particular lens is just gone, and I hate it, because I used to be able to set my automatic coffee pot, and the lens itself, I guess the bulbs are probably dimmed or something, but I used to be able to set the coffee pot. Steve Matsura, he owes his first job to the opticon. He read the screen.
Yeah.
In his first computer job.
Yes, I remember. Wasn't there some sort of particularly special lens that you could get for reading displays? Yeah.
There's a magnification lens for reading very, very small print. There's a CRT lens for the computer. There's I'm forgetting. An LCD lens for reading the liquid quartz, I believe. But we used to do these things, and some people still do. I think I remember Doug Wakefield saying that he and his wife do the same.
Oh, yes. Well, Doug and Judy are two of the most amazing power users of the opticon that I know. There are a couple here in New Zealand that I know well as well. And it's just, it's brilliant. And there's nothing on the market, really, that does what the opticon did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm. The small computer lens, that's what I was trying to think of. But, that's true. And I the day that mine goes, in fact, I've lost Rick Ohm's address due to that major glitch I suffered a few months ago. But I'm thinking I really ought to send that to him and not only get it a good cleaning, but see if he can possibly get hold of some of the lenses now. Because what's happening... Oh, yes, and there's a typewriter lens you can use to... with an attachment that you can use to fill out standard forms with a typewriter with a Smith Corona portable. And that was, yeah. That was great.
Yeah.
But now they're having to, any new parts, they have to take them out of older units or what parts they might have on hand. Unfortunately, they're kind of having to cobble anything together that needs replacement.
Yes, I know that there are people who live in real fear of the day when their opticon finally gives up the ghost.
Oh, me too. At the very least, I'm going to be sobbing, and I'm not. When I had to give my opticon back when I left my job, I packed it up, crying all the way. I was able to get my own, but it was a tremendous loss to me.
They were quite expensive to begin with, weren't they?
They were. They were, I think it was about either 5,000, I think. And that was the price, as Dave points out, that was the price of a Ford Torino.
That's right, because we're talking $1975 dollars here.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
And what I did, I knew that I was not going to go back to the government. And I'm fortunate I was able to do this. I pulled all of my government pension money out and bought the Opticon, and I've never regretted it a day in my life.
Oh, Dave, I'm sure proud of you.
For that?
Well, thank you very much for giving up your dinner to... Oh, sorry, I was just saying, Dave's obviously proud of you that you did that.
Oh, Yeah, he is. He's proud that he could talk about the car, make the car equation.
That's right.
Thank you, John.
Have a lovely dinner.
Oh, wonderful. Hey, best of luck. I'm sure I'll talk to you, I'm sure I'll talk to you at the convention, but take care.
Thank you very much, Pam.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. And that's where we will leave Blind Line. We will have one more Blind Line from me next week before I head off and start setting up for Convention 2003, which promises to be great fun as always. And then by the time I get home on the long journey back, there won't be a chance for me to do a Blind Line or Main Menus. So next week will be my final Blind Lines and Main Menus. And if you like Beat or Beat on ACB Radio Interactive, this week's the final one for that. Thank you very much for your company, and we'll catch you next week. Appreciate your calls.
When Morris Frank was matched with Buddy, the first seeing eye dog, he marveled that a dog in a leather harness could link him to life.
All of a sudden, I was free, and I was able to do all the things I wanted to do.
Visit the Seeing Eyes website, www.seeingeye.org.